This week's recap of 90 Day Fiancé on Rob Has a Podcast is sponsored by our friends over at IP Vanish. What is IP Vanish? Well, it is a virtual private network, a VPN for short. A VPN is a super important tool that helps you safely browse the internet. You could use your VPN on your computers, your tablets, your phone, even things like a Fire Stick when you're streaming media. When you use a VPN, all your data is encrypted. What you're reading, what you're searching, what you're watching, whatever it is you're doing, that's very important because what you're doing on the internet isn't any of my business, and it's no one else's business either. IP Vanish helps you remain anonymous and secure on the internet. IP Vanish is just $3.49 a month, but for just $3.49 a month or $27.99 a year, you can help protect your online privacy and security. Here's what you get with IP Vanish, anonymous IP address. That means your IP address can't be tracked by anyone on the web. Get protection when using public Wi-Fi. Remember, with IP Vanish, all your data is encrypted, so no one can snoop on what you're doing. 24/7 support. Email them, chat with them, even call them. They're there to help. And if you remember, these guys supported the show a couple of weeks ago, and they've come back with an even better deal, wanting to offer something special for the new year. You're getting 65% off now. Go to ipvanish.com/Rob to claim your 65% savings. They have plans starting at $3.49 a month or $27.99 a year. This is the time to sign up. With our discount and current promotion, you can get a VPN for 65% off the usual offering. IP Vanish is the best of the best, rated 4.7 out of 5 on Trustpilot, and that's with more than 6,000 reviews. So show some love to some repeat sponsors. It's ipvanish.com/Rob to get the deal and start protecting yourself online. Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cicerino back again to talk about 90 Day Fiancé week number 6. We got a lot of stuff to get through and excited to have you back with us for another week of the TLC hit show 90 Day Fiancé. Back with us once again, the man who got me watching this show every single week. Here he is, Mr. 90 Day Fiancé. It's Pooya Zambakili. Pooya, how are you?
I'm doing well, Rob. Listen, here's the thing. You watch the show, but granted, I will never miss a call from you. You call me 14 times, I'm picking up 14 out of 14 because I care. And I'm happy to be here right now to talk Good. More 90 Day with you today.
Good. Okay. You don't have some sweet plan or something else going on. Happy to hear that.
Nothing else on the horizon.
Okay.
Be good.
And how lucky are we today? Because we have a sweet plan in store for you because we are so blessed to have the great Jenny Autumn here with us. Jenny, how are you?
Rob, speaking of sweet, I feel a little bittersweet right now because yes? I have been dying to talk about this show. I haven't been this excited to podcast in a while.
Oh, that makes me so happy.
Always excited to podcast with you. And Pooya is one of my like closest friends in and out of the community.
Yes.
So, and we rarely get opportunities to podcast together.
A legend.
So I'm super excited. However, we got no Brandon and Julia last night, and I am upset, but I have no shortage of takes on everyone else. So it's okay.
Great.
But okay. It was a little bit bittersweet last night's episode because I had been waiting so long. And we didn't get Brandon and Julia.
All right.
And Ron and Betty.
Well, the good news is we don't know your takes on Brandon and Julia, so we can get them up top.
I mean, I don't think that I have any scalding hot takes that are, you know, haven't already been stated, but they are just by far the most fascinating couple to follow. What I really like about them is I genuinely feel like they do have a romantic connection.
Mm-hmm.
The feelings do seem pretty evenly mutual. And I'm very team Julia in pretty much every situation. And I just feel so terrible for her.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very frustrating to watch. And I can't get over this storyline. And I wish that they didn't leave it out last night. I feel like there has to be stuff going on. Like,
I don't know. They need a week off, I guess, because we come in every week and say, TLC, can we please have some more Brandon and Julia? And last night they were like, come on.
That is actually the noise I was making as we got, like, you know, 20 minutes into the episode, and I'm like, it's not happening. We're not getting a later in the episode preview. They're not here.
Yeah, Puya, you called it last week from the coming attraction. You have a keen eye for how this is all working.
Yeah, I mean,
we're such casuals.
This big Brandon and Julia guy here, myself, I want to make sure that they're there. When I didn't see them in the preview, I was like, the writing's on the wall. They're going to give us a bye week. I really thought hopefully someone else will come take the torch. And I think someone did, but it was closer to the end of the episode. And no, I'm not talking about lounging Andrew here. He definitely stole no scenes, just stole my time. And I want a refund. I do.
I'll co-sign that. Yeah.
All right, Jenny, I would love to know, who are you the most excited to talk about here from the 90-day? They're not teams, couples. Yeah, let's call them couples.
So my interest kind of varies episode to episode, because I feel like we've had like some slower episodes for some couples, and, you know, there's peaks and valleys.
Sure.
My hot take after my first... Yeah, we really do, actually. because I even find sometimes my opinions on people change. Like, sometimes I'll be like on one person's side, and then I'll be like, no, actually, screw this person. And this is not this person's fault. After the first episode, I believe I sent Sam Moore my rankings of the couples, and like everything I felt has changed since then. I was most invested in Jovi and Yara after the first episode over Brandon and Julia. I don't even know why.
What did you see there?
I don't know. I just like feel like I know guys like Jovi, and I just like have so many feelings about that kind of person that I just like, and I just saw so much explosive energy between the two of them. I just knew it was like a ticking time bomb. The first episode didn't even really show us, you know, what was to come with them. And I could just tell that they were the kind of couple that was really going to go at it at some point. So I was really invested in them at first. And then it's kind of gone up and down. In terms of this episode, I mean, the last 10 minutes, I really think that's, I mean, it's mostly been Stephanie. Like, we don't even really know much about Ryan.
It Stephanie and Ryan. They just call it Stephanie.
Her. Because it's really, she's the only one in the relationship, if we're being real. But, I mean, we can get to that later, because I do feel like that was, like, the hottest 10 minutes of, like, the whole 2 hours. Mm-hmm. But I became more invested in Rebecca and Zied in this episode, where I was, like, I could not have cared less a little bit prior. But I think now that he's finally here, Zied has arrived in America, like, I am way more interested in this storyline. And we got some more of my faves, Tiffany and Micah.
Okay. All right. A little bit of an off the board pick, Rebecca and Zied. And here comes Micah and Tiffany. And when we first saw them in the premiere, Rebecca was going to live with Tiffany and Micah. Let me say for Rebecca, good call on going for your own place. I think that was, in fact, the right call, Puya.
Yeah, knocked it right out the park. I feel like despite whatever the apartment looked like to me, no bed frame, I would still take that over living upgrade with this extra from the set of 8 Mile that is Micah. Like, what is this guy's problem? He's just always staring down. I have no interest in learning more about him. And I just there's nothing screams yikes to me more than if he pisses me off, we'll have a problem. But then it doesn't take much to piss me off anyways. Like, where are the red flags? Everywhere with this guy. Everywhere.
Yeah.
Micah is clearly, like, the most miserable person in the world. Like, I've never, like, Tiffany and Micah seem absolutely miserable this whole time. I don't think anything really brings them joy. And no two better people to drag along to the airport to welcome somebody than like the two people that could not give less of a shit about you and that you're here.
Jenny, I'm glad you highlighted Tiffany also, because Micah was obviously a douche from the moment we met him. But Tiffany seemed like that she was like, okay, you know, I really want what's best for my mom. She was also terrible here in this episode. That she was just such a sourpuss, a problem with everything, and really like was so rude to poor Z Ed, who's coming into this. Like, this is a disaster.
I really have so many issues with the power dynamic in this mother-daughter relationship, because I mean, I know that like Tiffany is like referring to Rebecca as like this like teenager in love. And obviously she's seen her go through something that didn't work out and she kind of got played and all that stuff. So I can understand being protective of her mother, but she really does treat her like she's the mom and Rebecca's the daughter, and that she has like zero respect for her own mom. And like, there's just so much reinforcement really on both sides of this dynamic, because the other thing that bothered me is like Rebecca is just like, oh well, I really hope that we would have our first night together, and like, you know, that they wouldn't come to the airport with me. And it's like, you realize you can just say no. You can just say, no, I think I'll go by myself. I think it, you know, he just had an 18-hour flight. Maybe he's going to need some time to like decompress, sleep a little bit before he, you know, is thrust into getting to know two people who already have made their decision about who this person is and what his intentions are anyway. Like, Rebecca doesn't do herself any favors by just like letting Tiffany and Micah call the shots. So it's like frustrating in that sense, but Tiffany and Micah do treat her like a child. So it's just really difficult to watch.
Puya, is any of this a producer call? Do you know where I've like sort of like noticed like in these scenes with the cars, like there's a lot of coverage in the car. It's not like, you know, on The Amazing Race where there's just like one camera person in the car. It seems like that they've got like they must have like a GoPro on one side of the back seat and a GoPro on the other side of the passenger seat. So like, did they already just like wire up Micah's car and it's like, oh no, this is the ride to the airport?
Yeah, so they definitely, I've seen it in different shots where it's absolutely what you're saying. There are multiple GoPros. There's usually one by the passenger side that gets like the front side. Then there's one in the back to like really cover anyone in the back seat. I do think that this was something that was probably planned. I think Rebecca's thought was, oh, this is a nice gesture. They're going to come in. They want to welcome him right out the gate. But then we take separate cars home. That's what she said. We're going to take separate cars. And then they were like, no. I think that with Tiffany, the thing that bugs me is that Tiffany's playing this card of like, well, he's from the same region as your ex, so therefore they're the same person. And it's putting all that judgment onto Zed, which makes it hard. But then the other element is I couldn't decide if this was an element of we're going to not let them go home for the PDA side of things, and we don't want that stuff happening, or it was more of a, you know, we're going to get our first impressions of him right then and there. Like, I feel like, Rob, if I may be boldly enough to predict this, I don't think either Tiffany or Micah have traveled outside of the United States. So I don't think they're out here with like an 18-hour travel ever. But like, you get any, even the nicest person in the world, I don't know who that could be off the top of my head, even the nicest person in the world would not give you a good first impression after that long travel. I'm sorry. It's just, it's too much. It's a lot of, I'm sitting there with airport and plane on me. I don't want to interact with you.
All right. Sorry. So Mike Bloom gets off an 18-hour flight and he is not making puns or doing any like wordplay.
Oh, I mean, that button doesn't get switched off, Rob. Yeah. He's talking your ear off about Clay Aiken. Like, the party don't stop. He's out here eating 100 raisins. We've talked about him. He's Mike Bloom be doing the most regardless anytime. That's why they call him 24/7, because he's open always.
Definitely the exception to that rule.
Let me ask you this question, Jenny. Could you make out what is Micah's tattoo? That it seemed like that we had, as I believe it was just Sterling who called this out on Twitter, that that he has sort of like the bacon neck, V-neck t-shirt, which has not held up so great in the wash. But we got sort of like the like pokings out of a like chest tattoo for Micah. I couldn't make out what it is.
So It looks okay. Well, I'm assuming he's probably got more tattoos than just this. I don't know if, well, you can see one behind his ear. I don't think that, you know, many people just go for the single chest tattoo and nothing else. It looks like it's some sort of animal.
Yeah.
And not a friendly one. I'm seeing like some, like, it looks like it's snarling. So, you know, maybe he's trying to embody that animal and that's why he's just
the
never
spirit
present.
Animal. It's a barking
he's
dog.
He's constantly snarling and just unpleasant. That is quite the neckline on that shirt, though. So good call. Like, did he just get into a Donnybrook outside the airport with somebody? Like, did he get, like, jerseyed outside? Like, why is his shirt so pulled? Like, I'm genuinely confused about what happened with this shirt. It's, yeah, he's... And my other theory is that, like, Micah has like maybe some like toxic masculinity stuff brewing under there. And I know, very hot take, but like, do you see how freaking dapper Zied is? Like, homeboy just flew 18 hours and comes out of the airport looking fresh to death. He's got like the nice glasses. He's wearing like a turtleneck with like a jacket over. Like, dude,
oh, wait,
looks
turtleneck.
Slick.
Oh, is he hiding something?
Yeah, he's been hanging out with Brandon.
Brandon, no bite.
You know, biting. Yeah. But the one thing I will say about Zied's airport attire is I'm a little disappointed that we did not get the other side of, you know, when Rebecca had arrived at the airport the first time to meet him and he was wearing the shirt with her face on it. We know Rebecca has no shortage of items with Zied's face on it. Where was the t-shirt? Why didn't she wear the t-shirt for him?
Is that played out now, Puya?
I mean, listen, we've seen they have blankets, credit cards. Like, it's not played out for this couple. It's played out for other people, maybe not for them. I definitely feel like that was a welcome that would have been nice from Rebecca, but also I could also feel like maybe she had that plan, but then doesn't want to deal with the lip from Tiffany and Micah in the car the whole ride there. About the shadiness about her wearing the merch. So maybe it was a plan, but then got scrapped.
Zied could have been wearing an updated version of the Rebecca shirt because he did one of her like photoshopped pictures. So he could have like done it again with like, okay, this is what you really look like.
Well, yeah. How do you think that Zied dealt with Tiffany and Micah being there?
I thought Zied did phenomenal, to be honest. It's like, I've gone through 18 hours of travel. He's so laid back, maybe too laid back, to the point where they were irritated that he was laid back. But no, he,
like,
he's
where's his enthusiasm? Why isn't he excited?
Yeah, we want him to do like backflips. I don't understand what your thought is here, Tiffany. Like, relax. Let the man do him. He just had to travel and y'all need to calm down.
You need a Snickers or something?
Like, calm down. Calm down.
Yeah.
And like, he's just saying like, yeah, to things. Like, it's like, I don't know. He's just getting to know these people and they're like asking him questions. Like, he's supposed to be, you know, really invested in all these things. Like, oh, a baseball field. It's like, yeah, cool. Like, I don't know. It's like, you just got off 18-hour flight and you're in a new city. You're probably like just completely overwhelmed with like stimulus, especially when it's like a country you've never seen before. Like, what are you expecting someone to say when you just point out a building? Like, oh, this is a thing. It's like, oh, cool. Like, what is he supposed to say to that anyway?
Yeah. This was his response to finding out that Tiffany and Micah were here for the ride.
Yeah, that's so good. Yeah. Perfect.
He said that a couple times, and it was a little unconvincing. Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, half his cadence, half, like, you can tell he's just, I have to deal with them.
I'm going to go with the flow, but yeah, well, get me out of here. Then they make him go to this restaurant also, and they continue this job interview / inquisition with poor Zied. Jenny, that they're really like giving him like real hardball questions right out the gate.
Like, imagine, you know, having dinner with your children and your children are like interviewing your, you know, potential spouse about like what they're going to do with their life. Like this, again, this extension of this whole messed up dynamic between them, like so inappropriate. It's he even said like, I cannot work for 6 months. Mm-hmm. And so like, that is his answer for now. 6 months is a lot of time to figure out what the hell you're doing. Man's just got off of a flight. Like, what do you expect him to say in answer to this question? Like, it's so inappropriate to be having this conversation on the in the very first time that you're meeting this person. And I don't blame Ziad for being kind of closed off and, you know, just saying a lot of yeah and okay and like seeming uncomfortable because, you know, like Ziad's English is getting good. It's getting better, but there's still a language barrier. But you can tell that he picks up even before they start talking and start grilling him. These two people don't like him. Mm-hmm. Like they it's very obvious in the body language between everyone at the airport. Like, I don't blame this guy for having nothing to say to these questions because it's absolutely out of line. And they're already making the comparisons to Rebecca's ex. It's like, isn't that like a little bit of a faux pas? Like, you shouldn't be bringing up exes like on a first meeting.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And Puya, especially, Ziad does not like the ex talk.
No, he's been very, very clearly not into it. I mean, and this is not going to be a great setup for when Rebecca eventually says, hey, me and my ex used to live in this building. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that? Yeah, he doesn't like that. I feel like, obviously, as someone who's gone through the process, for me, it took 8 months until I got the permit to be able to do anything, any gain any employment. So 6 months is being nice. Even then, if it wasn't day one, Jenny, if this was a month in, I'd still be like, none of your business. How about that? How about me and Rebecca have sorted our stuff out. How about you worry about your business? I'll worry about mine. But it's funny to me how it's very clear that they are not aware of the process. Like Tiffany and Mike have made no effort to realize, yeah, he can't really do anything right now. I did like Rebecca being like, what are you going to do tomorrow? He's like, well, stay at home. Like, I'm okay with that. He's like, well, you can go walking around. It's like, well, he doesn't know where he's going. How about maybe give him a tour first?
Yeah.
Also, she did get him that Xbox, didn't she? So
yeah, he might know the Xbox is at the house. It was so shady. The whole thing was like, yeah, because we only asked because that mom's ex, he didn't like to work. So we're just worried about that. Like, okay, he's not the same person.
Yeah.
But you can very much tell that the way that they've simplified, and I'm sure that it's also a cultural thing. They're like, oh, well, you know, the last guy was also from like a Middle Eastern, like, you know, like they're just lumping. Oh, well, everyone is like that. That's so this person, it's like the generalizations are definitely like coming from a certain place. And it's just very uncomfortable to.
Yeah.
Watch
the whole like Morocco Tunisia same is very big with them, and especially that we had the first episode with Micah when we got introduced to him. He's like, well, he's gonna have to realize there's no Allah here, and I'm like, man, Allah is just another name for God, so you're an idiot. So really, again, they're not like Micah's not got the book learning, and I don't think he's gonna start now. He's gonna be him, but yeah, it's unfortunate. But listen, Ziad has gone through, I would argue, the best glow up of any 90-day person ever. He looks phenomenal. He's out here. He's got, you know, his face on all these merchandise. He's living fine. His life's going to be okay. They just need to, once they separate from them after that dinner, they're going to be fine. Rob, I will say, have you noticed how keen Rebecca is to have him alone? Rebecca loves Ziad. Mm-hmm. Rebecca wants Ziad. And, I'm kind of okay that we didn't have to get to that part of the episode.
Maybe that'll be next week.
The bear's all.
Yeah. I mean, Tiffany's like, you know, it's so gross. I don't want to see my mom being like all like lovesick again. Just like, you know, it's so annoying when she's like this. But you didn't have to go to the airport.
They haven't seen each other in 13 months. Like, what do you expect? But again, Rebecca also could have stopped her from coming. Like, it's like I'm putting the blame on both of them. Like, yeah. I don't understand why Tiffany and Micah had to come in the first place. And I also, if Rebecca thought it was a bad idea and saw this coming, I don't know why she just didn't say no, thank you. Like, let's have dinner tomorrow night or something like that. Like, yeah. This, the onus is on both of them. They both, I mean, that's like the moral of this whole freaking show is like everyone is in the wrong always, basically. But in this particular situation, it's just like Rebecca is really enabling how her daughter and her fiance treat her. And it's just like very hard to watch. But one other thing on Rebecca and Ziad that I just like need to make sure that we address. How does she not know how old he is? Was that like when they're in the car and they're talking about how old he is? And then she's like, is he 27 or is he 28? Like, how long have they been dating? She doesn't know how old he is.
I thought she didn't remember how old she was.
I found out this week that Mary, our very own Frail Mary,
yes,
forgot how old she was for like a year. So
that's a good point.
Like, fair play. Also, it's like, you know, maybe it's a flex that she's like gotten used to doing. Like, my fiance, man, I don't know, 27, 28. He's young. He's young. You know, I'm out here doing my thing.
I wondered if it was like she was trying to, like she's definitely uncomfortable about the fact that she, Ziad is so close in age to Tiffany and Micah that she was like maybe trying to see if she could get away with saying that he's older than he is, because she does when she has her little like confessional, she's always being like, Ziad, my 27-year-old fiance, like she, like it's those couples where there is the age difference. It's always like my 27-year-old fiance. Like they always have to add that in. I'm sure that's producer prompted, but it's like I've heard her say that so many times. How is she not sure if he's 27 or 28 by now?
One thing that we didn't talk about that was a new addition to the show last night. That there was a lot of branding to not brand in. There was a lot of branding to try to get us to know that there is a, I don't know if you noticed this last night, that there is a brand new feature that is called, what is it? Discovery Plus that you can get. And there was some very subtle on-screen marketing pushes. Did either of you notice this?
I did not, but maybe it was where I was watching it from. I don't know.
I watch it the day after. So I don't get that, but I have seen photos on the Reddit of like stream what you love, Discovery Plus like, on the screen.
There were just like multiple squares on the screen for the same thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Same thing. Mm-hmm. Like I don't need more than one square of like, I know there's a commercial. It's like, and then it would like pop up on the screen. It was like, I'm watching a TV show. Like, please, like no pop-ups. How do I put the pop-up blocker on my 90-day fiance?
On the actual feed. There are a lot of commercials in this show. This is my first time watching it live. I also usually do like the next day watch. And wow, they really drag it out with all those commercials.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That's Rebecca and Ziad. Jenny, who else do you want to talk about?
I mean, well, we see them first in the episode. We could bounce over to Mike and Natalie.
Good. I'm excited to talk about Mike and Natalie this week. Okay.
Would you say they're your runner-up, Rob, after Brandon and Julia? Are they second place in your interest?
Are we counting Stephanie?
Stephanie would be one. She would count if you're putting her second. Yeah.
You know, I think I might be higher on Mike and Natalie than most because I find
they've been delivering
a lot of entertainment out of them. Because, all right. So, Mike and Natalie, and again, they are hot and cold. You know, sometimes that she's like, oh, yes, what is it, my love? Like, you know, sometimes that she's more into it, but he's just like completely out of it. Like there's no enthusiasm at any point whatsoever. Jenny, any Mike and Natalie thoughts before we get into them?
Oh my goodness. Okay. So I have, with every episode that passes, like I grow more and more tired of Mike and his stuff. Because he just like, he seems so irritated with literally everything she says. Like he always has like this exasperated response to everything, being like, well, yeah, like you could hang it up.
Yeah.
He's like always like he just sounds like tired all the time. So I feel like he speaks so condescendingly to her. And I didn't notice it so much at first. I kind of liked Mike in the first episode and was kind of like, oh my God, Natalie is a lot. And since we've been getting more of them, I've like slowly found myself being like, she really just wants, you know, your affection, and she wants the ring back and she wants to feel, and they are like, honestly, oil and water. Like, I don't think that they are a good pair at all. I truly don't understand how this couple even came to be. And, you know, these people must not communicate. I don't understand how they have a long distance relationship, and then these people come over and have no idea what the life they are living is like and what they're about to be getting into. And it's not just on them. It's clearly on the fact that they've not been, like, you know, really getting to know each other properly in such a way that, like, they have an idea of what the person's lifestyle is. Like, the way that Natalie is like, oh, you drink, oh, you eat meat. It's like, have you spent time with him? Like, how is this a new, what is happening here? How did you not expect this to be? Like, you didn't realize he lived in the woods. Like, I don't know. I just do not understand how these are surprises when they've been dating for several years at this point. Like, oh gosh.
I don't know.
But yeah, Mike just gets offended by her asking anything of him or suggesting anything isn't perfect. Like, you can tell he's like very, I think he's very protective of like his lifestyle and the way that he does things. And I do feel like when Natalie criticizes anything, like when she mentions that the closet smells weird, he's like very offended by this.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we get to getting to the bedroom for that. Natalie wants shelves. Mike wants is like, well, you have a closet. You have a closet. You can hang stuff up. Like, I don't really have stuff to hang up. She wants drawers. Okay. All right. Well, let's go in and let's start emptying out the drawers. Problem, Puya. Mike's closet smells weird. What's with Mike's closet?
So there's obviously a couple directions we can take this, depending on to get to the root of the problem, right? Obviously, there could be clothes that are not washed. That's the first thing. There could be clothes that he's forgotten about. That's the second thing. There could be other smells. We've seen how the litter was taken care of, the cat litter. This could be just messy, just dirty. And then it could just be residuals of just, you know, country living. It could be an Uncle Bo stash that's being hidden there somewhere. Yeah.
Do we know? Did Uncle Bo used to live in the closet? Was that Uncle Bo's room?
How dare you suggest that Uncle Bo does not smell good? You heard what Natalie said. He is a stylish man.
He is. Yeah, he is most stylish man ever, right?
Uncle Bo, the stylish man ever.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Big.
But we don't know how he smells. Style does not mean smells good.
That's true.
I wouldn't be surprised if, like, Mike's clothes smell like campfire.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel, but like, not in a nice way, like smoky and like kind of like musty, because they live in the woods. He does physical labor. I wouldn't be surprised if he's got like some jackets in there that just like have a scent, and then everything becomes, you know, a part of that scent. It looks like it's an older house. Some older houses like just have weird smells. So it could be any. I'm sure that, you know, Mike isn't a big like, you know, candle guy. He doesn't strike me as the guy that's got like those plug-in diffuser or, you know, the wallflowers from Bath and Body Works or whatever. Yeah. Like, he doesn't strike me as that kind of guy. So it might just be like musty old country smell.
Musty Mike.
I think if you asked Mike what antiperspirant is, he'd think it's some like oxygen tank to go swimming with. I don't think he would realize for one second what it is. I don't think he's familiar with the concept. So I definitely think there's probably, it's like a fusion of smells, right? I think it's more than one thing. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just a combination of all of them made this big waft of no thank you that she wants nothing to do with and seems like she has to deal with.
And Jenny, why are Mike's drawers so dirty?
again, I just think that he
she use them? She says there's problems with the drawers.
I bet you that it's just like everything's old and Mike isn't a particularly type A kind of guy, and things have gone, you know, years without anything kind of being swept out, and he's probably put things back in the drawers that maybe could have used a wash. You know, these things happen over time, and and she's just much more used to a lot more of a polished lifestyle, and I kind of don't blame her in that she's like, everyone has their preferences when it comes to like clothes storage. I know some people that are strictly like, I hang everything, and there are people that are strictly drawer people. It sounds like she is a drawer person. She's got her ways that she's organizing things. But I also like don't think that it's the worst thing to be like, okay, I'm going to give these like a little bit of a clean out first because they smell like your musty closet.
Yeah. Wouldn't kill Mike to pick up some Febreze the next time he's in the marketplace. Wouldn't kill him.
I think that'll be welcomed. Well, welcome. Did either of you notice Mike was rocking a Bluetooth headset?
Yeah, I've not did seen have that one in. Who's he calling?
I don't know. Uncle Bo is like tapped in. He's like,
the direct line.
Yeah. Like, yeah. That was wild to see. Now, I think honestly, the core of it with Mike is probably he does strike me as a guy who clean to him as well. I've cleared out the floor. Like there's no clothes on the floor, but I don't think he's the type of guy that's like, okay, this needs some dusting here. Okay. I need to like remove this dresser out every once in a while and like clean behind it. Like, I don't think he's thorough in any way. So it's just a combination of probably that negligence and then country living. And this is where we are now.
Yeah. But yeah, I have to give credit to the sleuths on the 90 Day Fiance subreddit. And this is from Kuma Bear One, who has a screenshot of when Natalie is cleaning out the drawers over on the nightstand. There's a DVD player, DVD on top of the DVD player, Ancient Aliens. Mike is doing his alien research. And this is why, you know, Mike, he does not believe in God, believes in aliens, and he is continuing to learn more and more about the aliens. I'm not sure if Natalie has weighed in on this yet.
I look forward to it because obviously they've talked about the dietary stuff. They've talked about the drinking, the eating, now the cleanliness. That's naturally the next step, right? I mean, I think that I'm very excited for that conversation. The more and more we've learned about his family, Uncle Bo, him, I'm not even remotely shocked that he's learning about aliens. But what's the difference with ancient aliens and modern aliens? Are they different? Is there like a history there?
Yeah, I think the idea of ancient aliens has to do with aliens sort of like got this civilization. Again, I'm not Mike here, okay? And Jenny, maybe you have some thoughts on this. I think the ancient aliens has to do like who built the pyramids, who got the, the ball rolling. If you look at like cave paintings or like hieroglyphics, like is there evidence that aliens were here and visited us and sort of like were very formative in the ways of our world? As opposed to, I saw UFO this week.
I just can't imagine, like, this is on his bedside table. Like, is this like their, like, evening, like, you know, before bed viewing together? Yeah. Like, oh, let's cuddle up and watch Ancient Aliens on the DVD player. Like, what a lovely way to spend an evening as you're adjusting to the scary woods. Like, poor Natalie is probably...
Forget it. I would not be watching those alien DVDs out in the scary woods. Forget that. Because that would be the best place for them to land. It's like lighting up fireworks. Yeah. Like nobody can see you. That's great.
The new Netflix and chill.
Yeah. So this had me cracking up. When they go back to Natalie for a second segment. Mike is out. And Natalie tells us a little bit about what it's like to be at Mike's house about a month in. This is what it's like for her.
Oh, it's boring. I want to die.
I have never related more to Natalie in my life.
Yeah.
She had to remove her nails. Okay. Mm-hmm. I feel for her. Yeah. That is a big deal.
Yeah. I have two thoughts every day. This.
Oh, it's boring. I want to die.
And the other is courtesy of Julia.
I hate morning.
Yeah. Two things.
They go hand in hand. I feel like
so much truth.
Mike should have taken a page out of Rebecca's book and bought her an Xbox or something. Mm-hmm. Like, the fact of the matter is there is no entertainment unit of any kind in this house except for the Alien DVDs. And it's like, at least bump up to Blu-ray at
and
this
the
point,
cat.
Maybe.
You can play with the cat.
Oh, yes, of course. The cat that leaves stuff everywhere. Shoot fireworks, yeah.
It's a riot over there.
All right, here comes Mom. Mom is calling on FaceTime. Jenny, Mom has one wish. Mom wants to go to a wedding.
Yeah, she wants to come to the wedding, and she is very supportive of the relationship with Mike. We hear this from Natalie, and so she wants to come over for the wedding. It's important to know when it's happening to get the visa in order and all of this. But yeah, Natalie's mom is very, very intent on coming to this wedding.
She's intent on coming. But this wedding will never happen.
No, this does not look promising at all. She's 30 days into the 90 days. Mm-hmm. There's the best highlight. The only thing she can speak to her mom about is he took me to the waterfall one time.
Yeah.
That's the best. That's the only thing that's happened there that's been good. I have someone in my DMs is my, I'm going to call them my B&B connect, who they've come through and they've given me information. The first time when they stayed at that place in Seattle, they came through and said, this hotel that he took her by the waterfall, it's called the Salish Lodge, not to be confused with the Kalish Lodge.
That's Lodge, yeah, house. Yeah.
Cheapest room is $480 a night, and the scallops she ate were $56.
Whoa! So, course,
yeah, he's out here doing the most for her at these trips, and then when she's home, she's living this like weird and Cinderella story with no happy ending, and it's just like it's just her cleaning. Like
that's high highs and low lows. Yeah.
Which is only going to make things worse. Like, I just really don't understand this. They have nothing in common. They obviously are attracted to each other. I mean, Natalie has said it herself that there are no issues physically between the two of them. That's the best part. And let me tell you, that never ends well if you have nothing else that you have in common. Like, I get that, you know, he cares about making her happy to an extent. So he's putting in effort to like try and impress her and all of these things. But in terms of like their values and their lifestyle, these two could not be more opposite. And he's trying to distract her from the day-to-day life that she's never going to be happy in by spending money on trips every once in a while to just be like, see, isn't this fun? And like, that's the only time they get along. And then the rest of the time she's miserable. If the lifestyle is, you know, partially that he can't afford to, you know, have them live somewhere else or, you know, have a more exciting life on the day to day or offer her more to do or enjoy besides sitting at home and cleaning, why is he dropping hundreds of dollars on one weekend just to be like, hey, isn't this fun? Okay, now back to your like closet. It smells musty. Good luck with it. Like, he's just making it harder for himself.
Yeah. We also didn't mention that a month in, Puya, she did not unpack her suitcases. I feel like that was not because it'd be easier to just leave.
Yeah, it's like, listen, in case I need to just bolt into the night, I've got my shot. I just have to do that. Yeah, I mean, the guy didn't even leave any drawer room for her until she had to ask. So to me, that's awful. Jenny, to answer your question, every couple that comes into 90 day, grossly unprepared, and there's not enough communication. When me and Leon had this big conversation about expectations. And like, so here's all the things. And even then, I showed up and I was like, yo, this is still a little bit like of a shock because I'm still like dealing with a bunch of stuff. But if anyone was curious about our habits and sorting habits,
did Liana give you a drawer?
Well, when we bought this new desk, we bought two dressers. So we each have our own dresser full of stuff. So it's good. She gave me closet space, which I did appreciate. I tried to minimize it so that she wouldn't have to like give too many. But Liana color codes her hangers, so I can't use Liana's hangers. That's the only place where we have a problem. Is if
that's
I
so
use
interesting.
Yeah. If I use this specific, she's like, wait, that's mine. I'm like, okay.
She's yeah.
Like, are you sorted? I'm like, no, I'm just anything's anything. Like, there's no like, this is the hoodie hanger. They're all the same.
I will say, like, we went through, you know, a similar situation as you and Leon, not from different countries. There was no visa involved, of course, but like went from long distance. And then, you know, Phil moved into my apartment.
And did you give Phil a drawer?
So what we ended up having to do, because I was already low on drawer space, and the bedroom is like very small. There's like no room to throw a dresser in it, but I have like an office den type thing. What we did was, and it took a little bit to get it, we got a dresser.
Yes.
Like a new dresser with like long dresser, two sets, and then I have my side. And then Phil has his side. And then we also got like a hanging rolling rack thing to hang things.
For all you know. Phil's suits.
Exactly. A big suit guy. And so it works both ways. If you're a Natalie and you want to, you know, put things in the drawer, you're good. Yeah. And then if you're Mike and you want to hang it all, you've got both things covered. But like it is kind of strange to me that 30 days passed and the conversation hasn't happened of like, hey, like, where do you want to put your stuff? Like, it really does seem like, you know, he didn't think about how she adapts the place to also be hers. And that it's just like, she's just kind of like there. And any of the stuff that she brought along just kind of like dissipates. And that's just how it works.
Yes. Also, I think he wants her to leave also, I think is also part of this. I think that this is, he is running out the clock.
I mean, he's made no efforts to like make it seem like he cares. I think
staying
that it was very
bounds,
obvious. That
he
like,
is okay. Not. He is running the clock down. He's taking a knee.
Yeah, just waiting it out. Yeah, I mean, here's the thing: 30 days. That's a third of the way through. Nothing's happened. There's no developments on the horizon. I think you've mentioned like they've never like physically they didn't seem to have a problem. I have to imagine that even that's not really something that's going on. So this is straight up punishment payback for her giving the ring back in that season that we saw previously. I think that he's just on a revenge tour, and I think that he has no interest in pursuing this. And it's kind of brutal because I just bless her. She seems like she's really trying with the my loves and the relaxes and all the like, I'll make us a salad this morning. I'm happy that you're doing the diet. When she says the diet thing and they pan to him, he looked miserable. He like had his head in the napkin. He did not want to be there. It's brutal.
Well, especially because she's like, you need to lose weight. You'll look gorgeous. Like, it's just like it's never going to be good because she wants him to be someone that he's never going to be, and he's never going to be comfortable like making those sacrifices. Mm-hmm. It's just bad.
Jenny, did you notice that she kissed him at one point and he wiped it off?
Yep. Full on.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah. What a romantic connection they have.
Yeah. All right. Not looking so great for Mike and Natalie. We still got a lot more 90 Day Fiancé to talk about with Jenny and Puya, but we got to take a quick. We still got a lot more 90 Day Fiancé to talk about, but we got to take a quick break, and I got to talk about our friends over at Brooklinen. Now, look, some mornings you don't want to wake up. You just want to pull the covers over your head and go back to sleep. But don't make it about because
I hate morning.
No, make it because you have the most comfortable sheets. Don't you love your sheets? If you don't, Brooklinen has got you covered. Brooklinen works directly with manufacturers to make luxury available directly to you without the luxury level markups. Do a whole makeover for your bedroom. Don't make it like the terrible room that they make Julia sleep in. Brooklinen has a variety of sheets and colors and patterns and materials to fit your needs and tastes. Brooklinen has over 50,000 five-star reviews and counting. They're so confident in their product that their product comes with a lifetime warranty. And Brooklinen is so much more than just sheets. They've got comforters, pillows, towels, even loungewear, and more. You can buy sheets, beddings, and pillows all at once to save even more. I swear by the Brooklinen sheets at my house. I made sure we got extra. So I don't, in case they're in the laundry, I don't want to be without my Brooklinen sheets. I swear by them all year round. Don't wait. Do something nice for yourself. Start off the new year right. Go to brooklinen.com and use promo code Rob to get 10% off your first order and free shipping. That's brooklinen.com. Enter promo code Rob for 10% off your first order and free shipping. Brooklinen.com. Use promo code Rob at checkout. That's why I always say no sleep till Brooklinen. I also want to thank our sponsors over at Brother P-Touch Pro. The P-Touch Pro label maker enables you to organize like a pro, creating durable labels that help you identify your electrical and telecom wires, cables, workspace, gear, and more. The P-Touch Pro features convenient one-touch keys that make labeling fast and easy. Use over 300 symbols to help declutter your electrical wiring, workshop, toolbox, garage, storage, and more. Mike could be putting labels on all of the drawers so he knows which are his and which are Natalie's. P-Touch Pro tackles hobbies too, organizing your camping, hunting, fishing, and sporting gear. It's easy to use wherever your projects take you, featuring a detachable wrist strap and portable design. Choose from an assortment of exceptionally durable P-Touch label tapes for all your labeling needs. Tackle your toughest labeling jobs with the P-Touch Pro label maker, only from Brother. For details, visit ptouchprobybrother.com. Now let's get back to talking about 90 Day Fiancé with Jenny and Puya. Jenny, do you have another couple that you are dying to talk about?
Oh boy! I mean, we could bounce over to Jovi and Yara, which is mostly okay. Just Yara.
Yes. All right. This is I'm very excited to talk about Yara and Jovi because we get sort of like, okay, Jovi, he's going off to go to work. We knew about this, so this was coming. Again, this is the same thing though that they're always in an Uber. I don't, have we seen Jovi driving at all? Did they drive to the mom's house? But they take a Uber seemingly everywhere. Maybe she doesn't have he can't drive her back. But again, I noticed like, do they call an Uber and then they get like, GoPros in the back of the, or does like production just have like the car to drive them around ready to go?
I think it's most likely a car. I think it's most likely because they would have mentioned an Uber. Something would have happened, especially if it's looking like it's professionally set. Otherwise, it would be more Amazing Race style where there's a cameraman mm-hmm. in the front seat shooting them in the back seat or something. But I think that it's definitely probably has to be a production car. This, we didn't really talk about this, but there, I mean, I'm not outside of the idea that maybe he's had a license suspended. You know, we've learned that, you know, Jovi likes the sauce and mm-hmm. He might have oversauced at some point and got punished for it. So that's definitely possible. And I don't think that Yara can drive there because she'd have to get either her license converted or a whole new license for the States. Mm-hmm. So
Jovi's always just looking to go drinking when they go do things anyway. So like that also is probably part, even if he does have his license, he's just like, well, I'm not driving so that I can drink. So yeah, like,
I never need it.
They go to the airport and they're saying goodbye and they're talking about, you know, how much you're going to miss me. Yara had an interesting question. She asked Jovi, how much in dollar will you miss me? Jenny, what is the right answer to that question?
Millions, or just like, you know, you just give an amount of money that doesn't exist.
Oh. You make up a word. It's like,
yeah, 17, like that's where you're playful. And cute.
What's the national debt? Yeah,
a bajillion or something like that.
yeah, you can't.
That's
go,
the right answer. Well, yeah, like, don't actually define it.
$46 is what I'm missing. Okay,
the amount of this Uber and back.
All right. So, all right, Yara goes home, and for Yara, you know, similar to Natalie, things are...
Oh, it's boring. I want to die.
And she tells us about the time that she went out on the streets of New Orleans. I'm not sure she went to Bourbon Street exactly, but she went out to go check out what was going on out in the streets of New Orleans and had a very unfortunate incident.
I tried to walk in and check in the city, but somebody threw up on my shoes.
Somebody threw up on your shoes?
Yeah, somebody threw up on my shoes. Somebody threw up on my shoes.
Okay. Jenny, has this ever happened to you?
I don't believe that someone has ever thrown up on my shoes. No.
As you're walking by, not even like you're sitting with someone.
I'm trying to figure out how... how that even happens. Like, was it, you know, like a drive-by projectile vomit and she was just, you know, an innocent bystander that just got the splatter? Or did someone like standing directly in front of her just like head down onto the shoes? Like, I have so many questions about the situation in which this occurred.
Yeah, Puya, can you give us, are you buying this? Did this actually happen?
It could be exaggerative, definitely. Given the shoes they showed us, and she talked about it being noon, I was like, okay, a little bit of sorry. But Rob, here's the thing. I kind of do buy it because you're saying, well, was she at Bourbon Street? I don't think Jovi's shown her anywhere else. I think she thinks New Orleans is just Bourbon Street. So that's all she knows to go to. I don't buy the timing. I don't think it was noon, but I definitely buy that this might have happened.
Do you think that she stepped in vomit and perhaps there was like some translation issue?
I think she might have stepped in sick because I really don't think unless she had a conversation with somebody who midway paused to do that or like someone, because like you'd have to go out of your way to like shift your body to then lean into an angle and go on somebody's shoes there. So I think she might have stepped in it. Okay. I think she might have stepped in it.
Okay. All right. Here comes Sarah. Well, Sarah, she's the same woman that she came over with her husband in like the first episode. Jovi, are you really ready to settle down? Jenny, what is this woman's angle? What is she going for here?
I think she hates Jovi.
Or is she in love with Jovi?
Okay, I mean, that was a thought, but then I'm like, I'm not going to go for the easy, like, oh, she's jealous and is trying to sabotage this relationship.
Then what is
Sarah
this
has
play?
A husband. I think she just thinks that Jovi's an ass clown and is probably has no shortage of things to say about him and doesn't seem to care about sabotaging his happiness.
I get it now. This woman, she does hate Jovi. And she, and more than that, she hates that her husband is friends with Jovi. So how do I make sure that my husband stops hanging out with this bad influence? I'm going to make sure that he wants nothing to do with us ever again.
Right. Okay. So I was about to say, because if they break up, then doesn't he have more time to spend with the husband?
No.
But cut the ties. Just be the worst person I can possibly be. Air all his laundry.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tired of my husband hanging out with this guy that used to know the names of all the strippers and go home with them. This is not the kind of guy I want my husband hanging out with. So yeah. Oh yeah. Sure. Jovi. Yeah. I'll look in on Yara while you're away.
I mean, that all adds up to me because, I mean, even looking back on that first interaction, like she wasn't being so much shady towards Yara. It was more so, but like, hey, idiot, do you think that you're ready for this? Like, I truly don't think that Sarah is a big Jovi fan and is just ready to, you know, finally has got Yara alone. Like, let's air all the dirty laundry.
It's like Mike's closet in here.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Because first she's like going on. She's like trying to like get a rise out of her. She's like, yeah, but you know, Jovi. Then he's always like getting drunk and drinking all the time. And you know how he is. And Yara's like, yeah, that's the, you know, that is Jovi. And so, but not enough of a reaction. So time to really drop the big one on her. Did you know this about Jovi?
How do you feel about strip clubs?
Strip clubs? What should I feel about strip clubs?
Well, it's just like Jovi used to be a regular at one of the ones down here. Knew all the strippers. And he, like, sleep with them.
Whoa.
The manipulation is so subtle yet so great because it comes off as, hey, I'm your friend. I'm dishing you information. But you can tell there's a big hint of what couldn't be me. You'd never catch me doing this with some charlatan like Jovi. You're an idiot. But did you know that, like, it's very subtle? She does it very well. You can tell that she's sick of Jovi to this point where she's gotten good at doing this because she wants the ties disconnected. But yeah, I love every bit of Yara's reaction to everything she's hearing because she doesn't like freak out and like lash out at any point, but you can tell she's like, well, that's disgusting. Oh, that's not great. I don't love that. But yeah, no, Jovi out here, knowing everybody by their first name, which I don't know if I buy, Because where's the personality on this guy? Where?
Is it the first name or the stripper name? Like, is it the club name or the actual first name? Mm-hmm.
Which name does he know?
Yeah. Are you saying that Jovi is his stripper name, Jenny?
Oh, no. That's a whole other twist to the story that I hadn't considered.
His real name is Gary.
Okay. Oh, boy. The other thing I was not a fan of was like, Sarah, like one of the first things Sarah brings up, well, obviously this is edited, so I have no idea in what order these questions came, but she like asks Yara if she wants to have a baby right away. And yeah. I'm like, excuse me, I don't like this because one, I have to think that Sarah, maybe she doesn't, but Sarah must know the story about what happened.
You would think so, right?
If it's going to be brought up on the television show, you have to think that maybe Jovi has told his friends about what him and Yara went through or what Yara went through on her own, as we have heard about. How is that an appropriate question to just be like, so, like, would you like to have a baby right away? Like, can't you maybe anticipate that maybe there's like some feelings about that whole situation and maybe it's not the most appropriate, you know, conversation starter for someone you've literally never hung out with before.
I might be able to add more pieces to the puzzle here. Ooh. Because Yara, so I went ahead and got this thing that was on TV on all our screens, the Discovery Plus thing. I went ahead and did it so y'all don't have
it
to
worked.
Do it.
Yeah. Yeah. That advertising all over the screen worked. Okay, listen,
someone needs to bite this bullet. Let me jump on the grenade here. I'll do it. We'll see what's going on. So I watched 90 Day Bears All. And Yara and Jovi were one of the couples featured in this. Specifically, Yara and Sarah were the two that they brought on to speak. And they showed footage of Sarah's first impressions of Yara. They had like a confessional that they hadn't shown before. And it was Sarah and Klein, the Jovi's friend. So Sarah has said Yara's a webcam schemer. She was very negative on everything about Yara.
A webcam schemer?
What does that even mean?
Well, she was like, well, there'll be clubs and stuff.
Does she play in Sequester?
I mean, imagine. Yara, the legend of the Sequester world.
She's getting dragged.
The whole storyline was like on this whole like manipulation of, well, Yara will take photos and stuff at the club, but then when the camera's getting close to Jovi, she won't photograph him. It's as if like they're going out, but she's got like a whole side thing going on. It's kind of the implications there from Sarah. And then she mentioned that Jovi's whipped by Yara and like went on to talk about that. So now I'm like, after watching that, I was like, Sarah, whose side are you on? Are you just like here to wreck this relationship? Because like, I don't think you're ready a bit.
Puya, was Yara on with Sarah when she's saying that, or is this Sarah is like solo firing shots?
No, so Yara was brought in via like Skype or Zoom or whatever. Yeah. And they were like, okay, Yara, we're going to show you this exclusive footage, like everybody that we haven't seen before. And they have like, you know, Yara's photo on the bottom reacting to all this. Okay. So it was that way.
This was like a spicy taped confessional that was during the show. And then they're showing it to Yara for the first time.
Yeah, because what they did initially was they showed Jovi and Yara's casting tape first.
Yeah.
And then they brought in Sarah and Klein's like segment in the casting tape. And then that they had given their takes of like, well, Yara's this and Jovi's this and et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
See, now I'm like, okay, maybe Sarah doesn't hate Jovi and it really is about not liking Yara and having these opinions about the person that Yara is. And her strategy is to get Yara to dump Jovi. She's maybe already tried the angle of trying to get Jovi to be like, maybe this isn't a good idea for you. It's not working. So the new strategy is, I have enough dirt on this guy that I'm just going to slowly start feeding Yara this information so that she can start looking at Jovi in a different light. And then she ends the relationship and then, you know, the blood is off of her hands.
She also, Sarah, was really poo-pooing Yara's business ideas. She's like, well, this is never going to work. Jovi is never going to leave that job. He'll be working 4 weeks on, 4 weeks off forever.
I think, Rob, you nailed it. I think she just wants to destroy Klein and Jovi. That's what she's trying to break up is those two. She wants nothing to for that pair to happen ever. And this is the perfect way, you know, ruin it from the inside out. But the skepticism about Yara running a business, like Yara run that business, I think ultimately she is like Jovi couldn't care about anything Yara was saying on the way to that in the elevator. He's like, yeah, well, you know, I'm just going to go work and you're going to have to deal with it for a month. Like, I don't know. He couldn't wait to go to Guyana. So I think that she's right on that tip. But I think that Yara looks like she'd be organized and be able to run a business very successfully.
Okay. We didn't get to then. We have one more revelation that Sarah wants to drop on Yara. So, all right. So he hangs out at the strip club. He knows all the girls' names. He is sleeping with the women that work there. Did you know this also about Jovi?
She, like, peed in the bed one time. Not the bed you're sleeping in, but, like, she got so drunk, she, like, pissed herself in the middle of the night.
Yeah, this is about his ex that everyone, like, who knows what this story is about Jovi's ex. But did you hear that she got so drunk, she peed the bed, but not the bed that you sleep in. A different bed. How do you feel about that, Yara?
Like, Sarah truly just has a file folder in her head, and it's like
she's got the Oppo research.
She just keeps going to the next thing, being like, "Okay, that didn't seem to impact quite enough. What do I got? Oh, I got X peeing in the bed. That's a hit. Let's try this one on."
Yeah,
but not your bed. Don't worry, it's not the bed you were in. Just another bed.
Yeah. I'm trying to is that incredibly damning that you have an ex that got so drunk they wet the bed?
It's not him. He didn't do it.
Yeah, he didn't wet the bed. Right.
Like, to what degree is the exes you've dated reflecting upon who you are as a person? Like, is he more susceptible to doing it himself now because he's had someone do that?
Was there? Oh yeah. Is this sort of like? Is she implying that Jovi requested this? Did Jovi? Is this like the Jovi pee-pee tapes?
Right. Like,
did he want?
Is this a Jovi enthusiasm plus? Like, he's this is the DVD on top of Jovi's DVD player. Like,
yeah, I don't know. Did you know he's a pee guy? Did you know it?
Yeah. For Jovi, this wasn't a bug. It was a feature.
And you know, well, like Yara is complaining about the peeing in the street on Bourbon Street. Maybe that's why Jovi likes New Orleans so much.
Also, Puya, do we think that this could also connect the dots to what's wrong with Mike's closet?
Very possible. Mm-hmm. And then my only question there is if we got a hit here and we're onto something, who's the culprit? Is it the cat? Is it Uncle Bo? Is it Mike? Well, tune in next week to find out.
Yeah. Okay. So, Yara doesn't know why Sarah told her all these things. Doesn't know who Jovi is anymore. Jen, do you think that next time out we will see Yara and Jovi have a conversation about Sarah's file dump onto us?
I feel like it would be strange to just have this and not have any follow-up about it. Sarah is such a hater. Like, just looking back on all of the things she went through in this lovely manicure pedicure date, I can't imagine that Jovi doesn't ask about how Yara's day date with Sarah went. Mm-hmm. And like, what else is Yara gonna say that they talked about? It didn't seem like they talked about anything except for all of the shitty things that Jovi does and all of the bodily functions that have happened in his bed with, you know, like, so, how does it not come up? It's definitely got to be a thing, right?
What if I told you that I've seen that footage?
What?
Oh, my God.
On 90 Day Bears, only on Discovery Plus, might I add.
Yes.
If you didn't
what
know
a great
already.
Commercial.
Yeah. Right? So, yeah, they did exactly this was the second scene they showed. They showed two scenes, really, with that were featuring Yara and Jovi, and this was the second. They gave us the exclusive of the reaction of what happened after. So this was 74 days to the wedding, or like to the end of the visa. Yeah. They hadn't talked for a few days since the mani-pedi because the connection on the boat was rough. But then she gets a call in with him, And she confronts him and says, like, did you, like, I hung out with Sarah. Did you sleep with any strippers? She told me you have. And he said he's never slept with strippers ever. His defense was, no, I only went because the guys would. What, am I not supposed to hang out with the guys? Like, kind of put it on them.
Okay.
And then she brought
good
up the
so
ex.
Far.
Yeah. So far, so good. The defense has been on point. And then when she brought up the ex peeing in the bed, he said, oh, I don't even recall. I've never heard of that. I didn't know that happened. So he pled ignorance on that. And I'm like, if it was your bed, you'd know. You would know. So let's be real.
Yeah.
You would know. Unless, like, he was just absent-minded, left, and she, like, cleaned everything before he got back. Like, just thinking of all that, it was like, you know what happened, Jovi. Come on now. But no, he definitely pled, like, I had no idea. I was, like, in another world. But yeah. So now you know. He just pled ignorance pretty much on both counts.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like maybe this is a story of, like, you know, they went on, like, they went somewhere for a weekend, like, you know, Sarah and, what is it, Klein is the husband, and Jovi and ex-girlfriend. And we've seen that Jovi enjoys getting a little sauce, not hot sauce. That's a different, type of, but, you know, maybe him and the girlfriend just got blackout drunk, and you know, the peeing happened, and Sarah was the one that ended up, you know, she booked the Airbnb or something, and she's the one that had to pay.
Can you check with your B&B source?
Yeah, find out what happened.
See about that. They got the deposit back. Yeah,
the investigation on.
Okay, all right, good to know. Very interesting. All right, Jenny, we have Andrew and Amira, we have Tariq and Hazel, and we have Stephanie.
Let's just get Andrew and Amira over with, because God, what a flop. I was looking forward to some progress in this storyline, and I can't believe I just watched, like, Andrew sweating and making phone calls. Like, that's literally, yeah.
The world's
and being
worst
really
rescuer.
Dramatic. Like, this is not compelling television. I've been waiting to see more of, you know, Andrew and Amira, and we got nowhere further than we did in the last episode they were on when we found out that she got detained. There was no progress in this storyline except for, can he not find someone to help translate?
No.
Like, what the hell? How?
Yeah.
Like, he's not even trying. I truly, he's just like, ugh, they hung up on me. And it's like, well,
this,
have you thought about asking, like, you're on a resort. Like, there's
situation.
There's gotta be someone there that can do a translation. Like, get some backup here, buddy. Like, I can't with this man.
Yep. He's at the resort. He's just, like, staring off into space, like, this view depresses me, he says. Like, do something.
I mean, he did something, Rob. He stretched it at the view. He got all his phone calls in with that view.
Mm-hmm.
No, he is a whole dumbass. Like, let's call a spade a spade. This guy and his, like, this is my command center. I need to set up shop at the resort and figure out what's going on. Makes two calls to the same place, gets the same guy, gets hung up on, and then talks with the dad for the first time, talks with Hamdi for the first time, Amira's dad. And his idea, like, this man's daughter has been MIA for 2 days.
Yeah.
And you open up with a, well, your shirt and tie combination,
sir. This was the opening from Andrew. He gets Amira's dad on the phone. It starts with,
you have a very lovely shirt on today. I like your shirt and tie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Andrew is such a wiener. Like, yeah.
Listen, if you asked me after episode one, are we going to find a bigger dummy than Brandon, I would have bet my entire lineage no.
Yeah.
Here comes Andrew. So someone on Reddit did the research, Rob. So he is in, I forgot where the name, but he is not in Mexico City.
Yes.
She is detained in Mexico City. However,
he's in Puerto Vallarta. Yeah.
Yes. So it's a 1.5-hour flight to Mexico City. The tickets cost $25 US each way. he can just fly in, go to the airport and figure it out, be done, come back. Literally, he's not at the airport. I feel like outside of an embassy, the only other place in the world where I feel comfortable being like, someone's going to get what I'm saying, someone's going to speak my language, is the airport. He's at an all-inclusive resort. I know this because he was wearing one of those wristbands. I know there are definitely going to be other tourists there potentially that speak English. The concierge can speak English. They can translate for him. He needs somebody to help him, but he's just not doing it. And here's the thing, Rob. I tweeted out something today. I tweeted out something similar about this, about the whole, like, you know, he's taken 3 whole days at this resort to research how to find Amira. Well, Amira's in a detention center somewhere. Amira retweeted it and followed me on Twitter. So Amira is on our side, obviously.
Wow, Amira's queen.
Calling him out, like the whole dummy that he is. No, it's incredible. It's incredible how just mindless this guy is, really.
Rob, you said that Andrew isn't doing anything, but there is actually something that he is doing in this episode. He is doing his own camera work, and we're getting lots of these like from his iPhone shots of like just his beard, and it's like just like he should not. Like, I know there's a producer there because we get the odd shot that isn't that, but why do we keep getting these terrible like up neck shots of like Andrew's sweaty beard?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Andrew and Amira saga just is never ending, seemingly. He's just, you know, talking to his mom about the whole situation. He does not have a great bedside manner either, that he calls his mom and says, today was the worst day ever. He's like, why? What happened? Amira, she didn't make it. Like, what, did the plane crash? And then it was like a very like uncomfortably long pause. Before he got to, she was detained.
She is so dramatic. Earlier, before, or I can't remember if it was before he talked to his mom and sister, but he was like, I am letting her down and love is fading. It's just like, he's so dramatic with his words, but his actions are just so like non-existent. It's like, yeah, okay, well then do something besides just like, oh, well, there's just nothing I can do. Like,
yeah, he was like, I got 2 leads. I was like, what does that even mean? What's a lead? Did you Google it? Did you have someone? What is a lead to you? Because
he's back on Reddit looking.
I love that he was like, press 2 for English. Oh my God. Okay, perfect. It says English. Okay, cool. And then he answers. Like, and then he gives them the spiel. They hang up on him. And that's all his reaction. Was, ugh, they hung up. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to go have a cookie and look at this view a little bit more. Like,
he's got thoughts and prayers for Amira.
Yeah, he's big thoughts and prayers energy to me, for sure. He's like, oh, man, I would have. Like, I'm a nice guy, so I definitely would have looked after. He gives me big fedora energy as well.
Yeah.
No redeeming quality with Andrew, I'm telling you. I look forward to next week when we found out that on the next Times episode Amira's luckily, happily going to be out, mm-hmm. from the looks of it. It's going to leave him on red. I look forward to that. I very much so.
Yeah. Also, for when Andrew calls Amira's dad, it talks about like compliments his shirt and tie. Like, it was fine.
It was just blue on blue. If anything, I would have been like, listen, accent a little bit. Like,
how dare you? Leave him be alone.
He's dealing with
a lot. I wouldn't have opened with it. Yeah.
That whole interaction was so uncomfortable because one, you can tell we already know that Amira's dad is really heartbroken about and worried about her leaving and all of this stuff. And now like what he feared most has happened. Like something went wrong with her getting to Mexico. And like Andrew is just like so cringe with the sirs. Like it just seems like it's just the most, oh, sir, like, oh, I wish we were meeting under better circumstances, sir. And it's just like Andrew is definitely that guy that just thinks that he can just like throw in a bunch of sirs. And like the fact that, you know, he's basically like strong armed Amira into like, you know, coming to Mexico. And this is essentially all his fault for like not, you know, properly thinking about all of the consequences of the situation. He can get away with it. She's like, a little compliment, throw in the sirs and you're good to go. Like, I'm dad's fave now.
Like, I feel like to me, it's like he loved Two and a Half Men, and he's dressed like Charlie Sheen from Two and a Half Men. Oh my God. And like, he's like, I've got that charisma. It's like, no, you don't. You don't. Stop it. Please.
Oh boy.
Niet.
Yeah, niet, indeed.
Niet.
I can't stop seeing from that Reddit post that said he was like the what you ordered versus what you got version of Jon Snow. That is just sad sack. Okay.
Oh my God.
All right. Let's talk about Tariq and Hazel.
Yes.
Because nothing too crazy going on here. I feel like we got a little bit of a bait and switch because I feel like in the coming attractions, they told us that Tariq was going to get caught with the whole Minty situation this week. That did not happen.
They dangled the carrot big time. Mm-hmm. And then they teased it on the next time on that. It's
like
next
Natalie's
week.
Breakfast.
Yeah.
TLC, yeah. 90 Day, they're known for doing
play
this.
Fast and like loose.
Take it with a grain of salt. That's why even when I was like, I don't think we're going to see Brandon and Julia, I wouldn't have been surprised if we saw them because they really splice the clips however they can to make it seem more dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Yeah. Okay. Jenny, I was thinking during we were watching with Tariq and Hazel, I think they need to get Hazel on the phone with Natalie. I think that they have a lot in common that they could be talking about. They are both with partners who force very gluttonous breakfasts on them when they would much rather eat lighter. They both live with guys who have a big, messy house that are, you know, creating all these problems for them. They expect them to clean the house and they're both bored.
Yeah, I think that they do need each other. But like the same situation that Hazel is in right now is like she's got all of this stuff to unpack and she's discussing, where can this go and what do I do with this? This turns into, which is in my notes, the one thing that I have in all caps is, how have they not talked about Ari sleeping in the bed with them? Mm-hmm. How has this not come up at all? Like, Tariq tells her to just, first of all, she's got her suitcase out and he says, just leave it there, which is on top of the bed that apparently three people are sleeping in now that Hazel just found out. I'm sorry. This is the example of the communication thing that I don't understand. How do you get in a relationship with someone, you know, you're long distance, you're talking all the time, presumably. How do you not know that the daughter sleeps in the bed with him?
Mm-hmm.
And that is what he is expecting to continue with you now that you're there. Like the fact that these conversations are happening like a couple days into the person being there is just like mind blowing to me. Like that is something that I think someone would need to know.
You would think it would come up. Yeah.
Yeah, at least a little bit. But no, I mean, listen, this is Tariq we're talking about. Mike at least had a dresser that he mm-hmm. was not sharing. Tariq has cloth piles. That's how he
destroy your stuff in the pile.
Yeah, easy enough. No, but I mean, Tariq just seems like he, even in his first season to me, has been one of the more absent-minded people. He just forgets stuff and just doesn't address stuff. So I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
This is peak Tariq to me.
Peak Tariq. So they have the meeting between Hazel and Ari. Seems like it goes fine. Seems like it goes very well. Hazel just picks her up off the ground. I don't know if she likes that. Like
I was like, oh my gosh, please don't do this. Like I was like, this seems too much too soon. But then all of a sudden Ari was kind of like put her head
on.
It
could have gone either way. I feel like that's a big swing. I'm gonna pick up an 8-year old.
Very sweet. And I think it probably helps a lot that Hazel is a mom already. Like, you know, I felt like they teased the situation being potentially disastrous because, you know, Tariq had said, you know, Ari is my world. And if this doesn't go well, then the relationship isn't going to work. And the little spliced clip we saw made it look like Ari just like peels away when Hazel comes down. And we ended up actually getting like a sweet moment. So doesn't appear to be any problems there. Right for the pickup was like a bold move.
Yeah. All right. So Tariq is going to have a a party, wants to introduce his friends to Hazel.
Shindig.
Yeah. And we get the whole crew comes over to see Hazel. And I like all of Tariq's friends. I want to hang out and have some barbecue.
That was a fun time. I really am curious about this because I'm not really sure myself. Is party, shindig, and soiree, are they the same things to you or do they mean different things?
I think they're the three different things.
Yeah, he called them all three things. He's like, I would love a little shindig, a soiree. I was like, listen, I feel I like one of them.
This seemed more like a shindig.
Yeah, he called it shindig first.
Yeah.
And I would say that this was shindig vibes. Soiree to me, I don't think they're eating barbecue off of paper plates.
Yeah, soiree is fancy. A party, yeah, I think, involves music. This was a shindig.
Yeah, more people. So this was definitely shindig vibes.
A girl might pee the bed at a party, not at a shindig.
Definitely not at a soiree.
No.
That's right.
No. You would never be invited back to the soiree. Yeah. Somebody might throw up on your shoes at a party, not at a shindig.
Yep. Yep. Party sounds like the worst of all three, if I'm being honest, given what we just talked about. So.
Yeah. You've really ruined parties for me now.
None of the good stuff.
I'm pretty sure that they've been ruined for some time.
Yeah. No, it was just you. Definitely not COVID-19.
Yeah. So, all right. So here's the shindig, and we get all of Tariq's friends come over, and they're having some dinner, even a present for Hazel, which was very sad, Jenny, that Hazel has never gotten a present before.
Okay, well, this is where you're going to get my rant about gifts. Because so love languages, everyone is aware of love languages.
Yes.
Gifts I'm like a zero on. I find gift giving very uncomfortable, especially like when you receive a gift from someone you don't know very well. Like the fact that she's meeting his friends for the first time and they like got her a gift and then she has to open it in front of them that's like my nightmare. So I was feeling very,
but it's
like,
powder blue.
They got the color right. And it was a very sweet, well-intentioned gift, but it was like my personal nightmare. Like having to open gifts in front of people that you don't know, you don't have any relationship with, for the first time, and they're clapping. Why are they clapping? Like, what is the clapping for? The whole situation was literally the worst part for me. And I felt so uncomfortable for Hazel. And, you know, maybe it wasn't that bad for her, but I just feel like getting gifts for people you don't know, like the first time, is like such a like, very bold move. I did like that it was personalized and that, you know, she knew what Hazel's favorite color was. It was very sweet. This is the first time she's gotten a gift. So obviously she appreciated it, but I was just like, oh my God, no, don't give her a gift.
Yeah. But Pooya, then Tariq's friend was like jumping in there like, no, you're doing it wrong. Do you even scarf, bro?
Yeah. I was like,
She had it.
Yeah, you're lying. I was like, here's the best part. Here's the best part. All she did was take the right flap and move it over her neck to the left side. I was like, oh, you really changed the game there, Angela. Yeah. Relax.
Which also, you can wear a scarf that way. Like the way she had it, where it was just draped around her neck, is like, that's the thing about scarves. Like you can see the graphic, you know, you'll buy a scarf and sometimes it'll come with like a little card. It's like 8 ways to wear it. And it'll like show you like all the different ways you could like tie your scarf. And like sometimes it's literally just draped around your neck. It's just like, I can't stand how sometimes the way that like the Americans treat the person that's come over from somewhere, like that they're like some idiot child. They're like, oh, they don't even know how to wear a scarf. Like, leave her be, okay?
So, and then Hazel asked the question, like, so did Tariq used to be crazy? And we hear a little bit about Tariq the freak from back in the day.
Tariq used to live upstairs from me, and his bedroom was over top of my bedroom.
Uh-oh.
I never thought he would get married.
Whoa!
Is that a shade about...
Yeah.
Is that some potential shade? Like, I'm wondering what that means.
Oh,
like,
so you're
I
saying that, yeah. You know
married.
What? That guy, he used to live above me, and I never once heard him bring anybody home. It was so quiet. I never thought he would end up married.
Two squeaks of the bed and then nothing.
Oh, you think it was so quick?
I was wondering if that's where she was going with it.
It's very much left open to interpretation, and I do love that because obviously I think conventional wisdom / my gut tells me it's one of the first two options. But then is she referring to the third option where the bottle of hot sauce was always in demand?
Oh, like, I think that's what they were saying. I think because the context of, oh, you're going to get me in trouble here. I think that is.
Oh, yes.
Right.
Yeah. I think that definitely we're talking about.
He was never going to settle down because he was always, unloading the hot sauce. I regret saying that the second my lips parted.
Well, it happened. So, Rob, I am not going to apologize for this, but I have listened to Tariq Meyers' Hot Sauce plenty this weekend.
Yeah.
I found the track on Spotify and it's been a vibe. I've been enjoying every bit of it. How many plays do you think it has on Spotify?
I don't know what the average amount is. I'll say it has 14,000.
It's very, very nice of you to say. No. So it had 122 listens when I got my hands on it. It now has 316. And I think I'm in charge of at least. Yeah, I think I've got a little bit. I'm in charge of at least like probably 80. Yeah. Probably
and 50. Phil is probably like 20 to 30 at least. Phil,
get in on that. Yeah.
Yeah, he changed some lyrics around, Rob, from the last time when we researched it. He definitely changed one of the. He had a line where it was something, something, my pistol. He changed that to my man gristle. So, doing
man
that information.
Gristle.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Yeah.
What is a man gristle?
You know exactly what that means.
I don't even know what a gristle is. Like a gristle, it's like pig
the fat?
Fat
on a steak.
Like the fat on a steak.
Yeah.
I would imagine.
Man gristle.
Yeah. I feel like just call it a ball of hot sauce like Jenny did and then move on. Like, I feel like that's better marketing. So, yeah.
The other thing about this is like the album cover is really a thing of beauty. Like, you know, not only is he a an artist in terms of his rap ability, but this graphic design of this cover is excellent. Definitely created
in. Can you describe it?
So the image is like a lady with I don't think this is Hazel, but a lady.
She's
with
not
pink
his muse.
I don't know. And she's making like she's pouting her lips over this little bottle of hot sauce that she's holding. A lot of red vibes. She's got the red lips, red earrings, and obviously the hot sauce is red. Red nail polish. So there's definitely like a color vibe here.
Yeah.
I am certain that this was taken off of a royalty-free website and then cropped the watermark out of it because it is kind of a weird crop. Mm-hmm. And then we've got Tariq Meyers, which is written in pretty much, I guess, the font Arial over the middle finger. And then hot sauce in the same font, just rotated so that it's written down the bottle. And it's not even like he tried to make it look like it was written on the bottle. It goes over her finger.
Yeah.
On the bottle. It's literally just like he just rotated it and then left it there. It is really a thing of beauty.
Parental advisory explicit content. There you go.
Quite.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. Okay. He also says hashtag 90 Day Fiance, hashtag 90 Day Bears All, hashtag 90 Day Fiance Pillow Talk, hashtag 90 Day Fiance Before 90 Days, hashtag hip hop, hashtag dance hall, hashtag rap, hashtag lawyers seasoning, hashtag Cholula, hashtag
Texas is it Lowry's seasoning?
Probably.
Okay.
Hashtag the Breakfast Club, so maybe they're gonna pick it up too.
I mean, there's a lot of blasphemous hashtags in there that don't belong, but I'm sorry, Tariq. Dance hall, that's a stretch. Like, that is not so get out of here with that, with the lies.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
All right, there you go. Then the party got kind of serious. Started talking about Hazel's son talk. Hazel, yeah. Brought the party to a screeching halt. Yeah. So what are you going to do? Got serious.
Like, what were they going to expect the answer to that question being as well? It's like, oh, do you miss your son? It's like,
no.
Yeah, no. Like, yeah. No, I haven't thought about him at all. Like,
yeah. They're going to plan to bring the son over, which I think is nice. Obviously, especially I think her living with another child will constantly remind her of her own child, right? Sure. Because she's still taking care of a child. So I think that they're going to push for it, which I do like. I do appreciate that. And here's hoping they get that to happen sooner rather than later. This is a fun group.
I have concerns about getting Hazel's son over there, though, because it doesn't sound like she even has primary custody over in Philippines.
Yeah, she sees him once a week.
Yeah. So it's I don't know what the situation is with the son's dad and stepmom, but it's like, are they just going to be like willingly letting the son go to America just because she's over there now? Like, I feel like that's a whole other issue down the road, but okay. I feel for Hazel.
To lighter material, let's check in with Stephanie. Stephanie has some news for Ryan, and she cannot get a hold of him. Now, Puya, if yes. Andrew had 1/10 of the stick-to-itiveness that Stephanie has, they would have had Amira back at that resort in an hour.
Yes. She has follow-through, like when you missed curfew by an hour and your mom went ham on the phone call. She's doing the exact same thing with Ryan. Same vibes. Andrew doesn't have any of this preparation, but Stephanie's on. Stephanie was so on it that she kept doing this and then continued doing it for 6 hours and then said, that's it. If he doesn't pick up now, I've given up on him.
Yeah.
6 hours of persistence.
Yep. She is looking for him. And she's like, we're getting like later on in the day. She, starts off, sort of just curious about it.
Coco. Tur.
This is talking to the cat.
Where's your daddy?
Yeah.
Where's Daddy Ryan?
Yeah. Where is he? What is that? The cat's name? Cooter?
Yeah, that's a different cat.
Yeah,
that's
listen.
Coco, tur. Where's your daddy?
Yeah. Cuckoo, tur.
Where's Daddy Ryan?
Yeah.
Cat's name is Cooter?
Cat's name is Cooter.
Is it actually?
It is now. If it wasn't, it is now. I'm not going to call
is this
cat.
Is this a greeting for a cat?
Coco, tur. Where's your daddy? Where's Daddy Ryan?
First of all, I never want to hear the words Daddy Ryan ever again. Like, I'm trying to figure out because, like, here's the thing, Rob, I know that you're not like a big pet person, but the thing about, especially maybe with cats is like, there's always like different names. Like, I feel like my cat's name is Scarlet. Sometimes I call her other things. Sometimes I call her Bean. Sometimes I call her turd. So maybe she's saying turd. The other thing I don't understand
is that a common cat owner thing that you call the cat turd?
Well, sometimes they're just turds.
That can say it has not happened in this household.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, the other thing is I am trying to understand, is there only one cat? Because we got a shot of a painting
mm-hmm.
in her home
oh.
of her and two cats.
Well, yeah, we oh. heard that later on, Stephanie is maybe being a little dishonest with herself, but we do get an update on one of the cats.
Okay, Ryan, last chance. I'm not calling all day long. I have a sick cat and I've got a business to run.
Narrator voice, she would continue calling all day long.
Oh yeah, nothing changed. So the cat's name is Cooper.
Cooper.
Cuckoo.
Yeah.
Oh, cuckoo. Tur.
Cuckoo. Tur.
Okay. Cuckoo. Tur.
Well, that is definitely
calling tur though. So
yeah.
Maybe this website was like, listen, we can't write, we can't publish it with this name. Let's change it to Cooper. Just change the letter. We'll pretend it was a typo. Like, yeah. Maybe.
We heard about that Tariq is going to share his bed with his daughter. Will Cooper also share with Daddy Ryan?
You're not used to sharing a bed except with Mama.
Will you share your milk with him?
Huh?
Jenny, does Ryan also drink the milk that the cat drinks?
This whole interaction was upsetting, and I felt like was terrible PR for cat people. Like, yes. Like, I feel like I'm constantly trying to, like, defend myself as, like, a cat person. It's like, we're not all weird. And then Stephanie rolls in here with the Daddy Ryan and will you share your milk with him? Like, what? What was that?
What about first the key lime yogurt? What happened to that, Puya?
Yeah, we just, like, downgrade. Is it downgrade or upgrade? Is the milk, like... What kind of flavor is in this milk? Is she
upgrade? Does she get the key lime anything bad?
Listen, yeah. Let me tell you something. There might be a reason why Stephanie's cat is sick. You are not supposed to feed a cat cow dairy.
Yeah,
their stomach is not like it's not built to.
So you should. You're not
dairy.
Supposed to feed a cat milk.
No, this is like a myth. Yeah, this is a misconception.
Are you saying that Stephanie is not on top of all things biology, that she has some bad intel?
I think that might be the case here.
Boy, I need to reevaluate where I'm getting my youth serum from.
Yeah, I mean, you might want to consider that because I don't know where she's getting her science information from. Certainly not from Liana from science, I'll say.
No.
Because I don't think that she would be advising this. Yeah, so cats like milk, but they aren't supposed to drink it. They can drink another cat's milk, like they can drink their mother's milk, but it's processed totally different than cow dairy, and there's no reason why Stephanie should be feeding her cat key lime yogurt or milk. And certainly I hope that Ryan is also not drinking this milk in this scenario where he even makes it to America.
Okay.
Meets this cat.
So Stephanie, she's got a lot of anxiety. She is practicing her hula hoop, Puya. She can't even get the hula hoop practice right. So much for her 100 hours that it's falling off. She is just very anxious. She finally contacts Ryan. Where have you been?
All day. She finally gets the contact in. Obviously, this is post 6+ hours here. She's like a worried mother constantly calling him. But then, unlike when a mom calls a son and the son's like, hey, I'm sorry, like I'll be right home. He gave lip back. He was like, I've been working, I've been sleeping, that's all I've been doing. And the reason I didn't answer, I was mad because every other day you would call me and bitch about something. And I was like, ooh,
yeah.
It's about to get heated in this episode. And granted, this was the last 10 minutes. I was like, the popcorn needs to get popped right now. This was very exciting stuff.
Yeah. She wanted him to know that the borders aren't opening. Don't you think you should be concerned about this, Ryan? And not really.
He doesn't. What am I going to do then?
He doesn't. He doesn't really care. Jenny, I don't know. Am I crazy here? Ryan does not seem that into this.
No, not at all.
Was that just me?
This was a Ryan coming out party. It was weird because the only bit we had seen of Ryan before, like, was that phone call when she had her psychic friend over.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Ryan seemed really upbeat. He was happy that day. And, like, this is – Ryan is done with this shit. The whole relationship is the most manipulative, toxic situation I've ever seen. I really enjoyed Ryan basically calling her out for using gifts as like a form of manipulation to, like, you know, get his affection, where she's like, well, I got you this and I'm sending you money for that and your watches and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, you don't do that because, like, you do that instead of saying you're sorry. And, like,
I didn't basically ask for calls this her stuff. Out on yeah.
that. He's like, I didn't ask for any of this. Like, you choose to do this, and then you hold it over my head, which, again, this is another reason why I'm very anti-gift. It's because so many people give gifts as a way of being like, well, look at what a great person I am. Look at all of these things that I got you. And it's like, oh, I treat you like crap, but look at, like, where is my appreciation for all of these gifts I got you? Mm-hmm. Ignore the fact that I talk to you like a child and I don't respect you and I'm super controlling, but look at the gifts.
Yeah.
So he's got, like, as much as I feel bad for Stephanie, because she clearly is the only one that is, like, actually romantically interested in this, like, Ryan is also kind of like over how she, you know, is using her power to control him.
Yeah, it's a sad story because she is, you know, he is like taking things from her, but also he does not want to be in a relationship and he is trying to tell you this. And I'm sorry, Stephanie, but this is not working.
This isn't working. Your hula hooping isn't working. Mm-hmm. Your tactic backfired on you because this was very interesting to me. So Ryan says, you know what makes me happy when I'm making my own money? That makes me
about that. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. She set him up to, like, give him ambition and drive and make it feel like he's, you know, she doesn't have to keep paying him.
I'm my own man.
That's given him the balls to stand up and be like, I don't need your money. I don't. Like, whatever.
Do you have any idea how much money I make, Stephanie? That I show up for this job. They don't care what I do, and I am making way more than I should at my job. Okay, so I don't need you anymore. That'll be a great reveal, Jenny.
About that. I know exactly how much you make because it's coming right out of my bank account. Again, the most toxic shit ever. She is literally like. Set him up to be like, oh yeah, look at you with your job, and she's literally paying his wages. You know, like, he's caught on to how she's used her money to have control of him in other scenarios. When he finds out that the job has been paid for by her, like, mm-hmm. They better record that phone call, mm-hmm. because I was a big fan of Ryan, like, you know, Ryan coming out party. Like, he was not thrilled, and he, like, the communication between the two of them was both terrible. Like, I definitely am not saying that, like, this is all Stephanie's fault. Like, you know, when he basically calls her crazy and does, like, the little, like, circle around the head thing, like, cuckoo,
cuckoo,
and then she goes cuckoo tur. And he goes, you're a lot past that, my dear. I'm like, oh man.
Yeah.
Like, it was so much.
Yeah. She's like, all right, here's the bottom line. We're fighting. Okay. And he's like, look, I'm never changing. This is me. I'm never going to change. And, we get this exchange, which I thought was really wild. So he tells her what's going to happen next.
I have a plan. And man, this plan is so sweet. So you need to think about what you really want.
All right. I have a plan. This plan is so sweet. Okay. Boy. And we're like, okay, what is this plan? But here comes Stephanie. She's going right over the top on what this plan is.
And your sweet plan involves what? Do you want to come over to America and start screwing women?
Whoa.
Yep, just straight to the ending of the book there, Stephanie. And, like, the whole thing with him was, like, you don't trust me. You keep questioning me. And she just proves him right back with this, with this, like, just jump. Like, she found the biggest trampoline and jumped right into the conclusion.
I mean, not for anything. He definitely is screwing other women. That is already happening. But he doesn't need to come to America to go meet other women. Like, that was when she was jump, like, to conclusions, Stephanie.
Where have you been? And he went, I was like, yeah. You've been betting. That's what you've been
doing. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Then she's like, and I see all the time that you're online at 2 a.m. What's going on? And he's like, I stay up all night playing Among Us. Okay. It's a normal thing.
Lit.
Yeah. Me and the boys at Ladyville, we have a great lobby.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, God.
She's like, why are we even engaged? And he's like, I don't know. Leave me alone.
You want me to come there and I don't.
She's like, that's it. Now I have to come there right away. And we need to talk about this so we could break up in person. Like, you don't have to.
More money to come over there. We throw more money away into the garbage, into the ocean. The other thing I noticed was so when she calls him, like, it said like her name for him on the phone. It was like Ryan/Belize/texting, which yeah. I'm like, does he have multiple phones? Like one where
very
she
sus.
Texts him. Like mm-hmm. I'm like
Walter White had that. Yeah.
Yeah. If she's gotten him multiple phones and she's like, okay, this is the one that you text me on, and this is your direct line to Cooter, and.
You do yeah. a great Stephanie impression. Let's not let that
go. Because I live so close to Michigan. Mm-hmm.
So I'm worried that Stephanie's not going to be on the show for much longer. Like, I'm worried, like, we got her like 4 weeks in. I'm worried that this is going to be like an open and shut case.
Well, let me just quickly look. Based on the next time on, I think they're the ones we're not going to see next week, which seems yeah. appropriate. Yeah.
It's like, boy, we got to get her. I hope much. She meets somebody else that goes through the 90-day K-1 visa process. Where's Harris? Cousin yeah. Harris. Well, she could marry him.
There's no way we don't get the payoff with Cousin Harris. That's definitely happening. It has
yeah,
to.
Yeah, why would also, we drop that? Yeah.
Right. The other thing that's definitely going to happen is she's going to have to tell him about this job. Or because here's the thing. She doesn't see it. But if she got him fired, if she just says, listen, just get rid of him, he might start crawling back a little bit more. Obviously, that's not yeah. what she wants. She doesn't want to. She wants the love, not love for the money. But you've given him wings to fly. Now he doesn't want to be in your nest anymore with you and your cat sharing milk cat person. Like, no, not a good arrangement for him. But no, I don't think I don't think we're going to see a lot of them. But we have to see him a couple times here.
Okay. Well, have the borders to Belize even opened since like, what was this, June when these segments were filmed? Like, I can't imagine they've seen each other yet. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. If that's how bad it was looking in June, I can't imagine it's
Look,
doing well.
TLC, you need stuff for Discovery Plus. You need more content. That this is going to be bigger than Dr. Pimple Popper. You get in there and you get to skin envy, whatever you want to call the show, with Stephanie, cuckoo tur, that follow her 24/7. This is a gold mine.
Honestly,
easy money.
It is. Easy money. I need to, you know, I want to follow the storyline of Stephanie when things finally end between her and Ryan, and she's like, you know, she's maybe gained something, you know, some new confidence in herself because she, you know, she didn't go for men before. And this was the first guy that she ever really pursued a relationship with. It didn't work out. Down with Belize. And I want to see Stephanie out in the streets of Grand Rapids or wherever it is in Michigan that she lives.
Yeah.
You know,
let's follow her on Tinder.
Yes, please give me that show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can report that you are permitted to travel to Belize at the moment. It requires just the, you know, tests. There only the international airport, no like land travel or anything like that. But she could hypothetically have gone to see him, because my favorite thing with her is like all of this happened. He's basically talking down to her the whole time. He's like, well, if we're going to end it, it has to be in person. Like, she still has to see him to end this. So that's why I believe in my heart of hearts, this isn't the end of Stephanie on yeah. the show. And if it is the end, we will see her somewhere else. I'm willing to put something on it.
Okay.
She's casting gold.
She's incredible. Yeah. All right. Jenny, anything else 90 Day Fiance you want to talk about?
I'm dying to just see what is happening next with Brandon and Julia. Like, I feel like, have we discussed that there appears to be at some point a pregnancy scare? Like, mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was in the opener. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the hot tub nudity.
The hot tub thing. Yeah. Like,
yep.
When the parents are away from the farm, like,
they're gonna deliver
everyone gets more. Out of the pen and yeah, like, So I'm very invested. I'm just most invested in that relationship again, because it does seem like Julia truly just wants to be with Brandon. And, you know, she wants a certain kind of lifestyle, but I don't think I can understand why she's against this particular lifestyle, because it is such an extreme. She's being expected to work on a farm. She can't even sleep in the same room as her partner. The parents have so much control over the whole situation. So it is a really, really tough situation. And I actually think that they have like the most connection. They're the same age. Not that that always matters, but I feel like, you know, there's some different weird power dynamics in some of these relationships where I feel like at least Brandon and Julia are like on similar power lines. It's really the parents that have the power there. And I think that if you take them out of the situation, then Brandon and Julia might actually have a shot. But the problem is that Brandon is an absolute idiot mama's boy and has no spine.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm waiting to see what the next thing, you know, that unfolds in that whole scenario, because what a disaster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, looking forward to that next Sunday night. Well, yeah, how about for you? Anything else 90 Day you want to talk about?
So let's see real quick. Well,
now that you have Amira does she follow you or just favorited your tweet?
No, she follows me.
Yeah.
She follows 35 Amira. People.
And wow. Okay.
She follows 35 people.
And you're one of them.
And it's followed by 50. So this is like a brand new account.
Oh, okay. Burner maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Burner to like the anti-Andrew Twitter post.
Yeah. Like and retweet. No. So Tariq was brought up again in 90 Day Bears All. Him and Dean, his brother.
Yes.
We've seen a confrontation between them.
We love Dean.
Yeah. So he got interviewed about all that, and they showed us the clip of where it all went wrong. It was an episode of Pillow Talk where they had this big clash, and Dean called and quit the show and just left. And then they got Dean on the video call. Dean talked about some stuff. We found out that Dean's wife is expecting.
Oh,
5 months pregnant.
Mazel tov to Dean.
Yeah. So Dean is having and then Tariq's heartbroken because, like, you know, he wishes that he found out through him and not through. He was like, we don't know Sean. Sean's not our family. And like, she's telling me that you're pregnant. Like, you guys are pregnant. That's upsetting to him. It sounds like they're going to unblock each other and work stuff out. But that's kind of where the Tariq stuff got wrapped up in 90 Day Bears All.
Wow. A mutual unblocking.
Mm-hmm.
I do have one other thing, but back to Zied and how Tiffany and Micah were like, well, what are you going to do for work? Phil actually found Zied on Cameo. So he.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about it, okay?
Yeah.
Micah and Tiffany, like, he it was is
your cameo,
Micah. Cameo.
Yeah.
How much is a cameo from Zied?
That's a good question. I don't know, actually.
Yeah, because he was so good at like sending messages on FaceTime to Rebecca.
Jovi's on here, too.
Oh, yeah. Wow. They probably all are.
I don't need a cameo from that Joker. Unless he's going to tell me the story of the time that the woman peed in his bed.
Yeah.
$35 for Zied. Yeah.
Okay. They're each $35.
Very reasonable. Very reasonable.
Yeah.
Jovi is 39, so he values himself $4 Ooh. More.
Yeah,
take it down.
What's the chat $3.99 function?
You can
just to send a message. So,
yeah, you can like send like a text message.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, it doesn't seem like a great offer. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like Jovi's going to leave you on red, so I wouldn't bother.
All right. Well, great job. This was so much fun to talk through everything from this week. And it wasn't the most sensational episode of 90 Day from this season, but we definitely had some high highs and we had a lot of fun getting to talk about it. Jenny, where can people keep up with you?
You can keep up with me on social media at Jenny Autumn.
And don't give Jenny any gifts, people. Knock it off.
Yeah, I'm not a big gift guy, you know. Sorry. Mm-hmm. I just want like any other form of love. Words of affirmation is high up for me. So if you're just like nice and don't say mean stuff to me, like that's a plus.
Yes.
We're going to be okay.
Can we?
I would not do well with Stephanie because she is very mean and then just buys affection.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Who would be the best person to be friends with?
To be friends with
yes.
of this group?
Yeah.
Probably, I would probably say, I'd hang out with Yara. I think, I'd probably hang out with Natalie. Natalie, I think is like, well, she doesn't like to drink, so we wouldn't be, she wouldn't like that about me either. So I don't know. It's hard to say. Yeah. I'd say with Yara, I think I'd have some good times with Yara.
If it's a party, as much as I hate him, Jovi, because like, we'll have some stories to tell. And I'm not going to be the mess he is, so I'll have stories on him. If it's a shindig, Tariq, because it looks like he puts out a good spread. There's a barbecue. I'm down for that. I'm here. If it's a soiree, I think Yara. I think Yara is a woman of class. Mm-hmm. She kind of knows what to do in that situation, and I would learn from her on the go, right,
as we're at that Manny Petty.
Now, Mike would at least probably hold it at like an expensive venue and just blow the budget in one night. That's so true.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Jenny, incredible job. And it's always so fun to get you back on the podcast to come up with some more stuff to talk about.
Yeah, thank you. Like I said, I was so excited to talk about this show and to, you know, I will podcast about anything with both of you. So it was, you know, it was a no-brainer in the first place.
Well, let's find the thing. Yeah.
Let's talk about it.
Let's test it.
You'll find anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, it was a good time. So thank you.
Puya, what else do you have going on these days?
Let's see. So, well, this week, Monday night, so maybe tomorrow night, maybe tonight, whatever you want to call it, I'm recapping the latest episode of Sequester with Taryn.
Oh!
So that'll be fun. Yeah, that's right. That's right. The new episode, the date night episode.
Date night,
I'll be talking about that with Taryn, so I'm very excited about that.
You're going from lots of date nights on 90 Day Fiancé to date night on Sequester.
Exactly. It's all date night with me. They don't call me Puya Date Night Zan Vakili for nothing.
Wow.
They really don't. other than that, Masked Dancer, we've committed to doing an episode after a recap after episode 4 and a recap after the finale. So that's two more episodes. Would you like to know who the latest unmasking was?
Sure. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Tune off if you don't want to know who the Ice Cube was. The Ice Cube was Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Oh, okay. That's a good guess. Oh. There you go. Yeah. Are there clues also? It's the same thing. Like they did the whole package of like...
Yeah, they did. They did a whole package of him, and like they do it where with Masked Dancer, I feel like they think their audience might be a little bit more dumber. Because they were like, when you see the highlighted red circle over something, that's a clue. So it was a lot easier to understand what a clue is and what isn't.
Yeah.
So there you go. Yeah. So we'll be talking about that two more times before the season wraps up.
Was Bill Nye a good dancer, Puya?
He's like he's like the dad at a wedding dancer, mm-hmm. if you're catching my drift. Like a step above the chicken dance, but definitely nothing really.
Yeah.
Like after a couple of shindig drinks, maybe you'll
Is he shaking the dice? Is he doing like the shopping cart or
He's doing more of a freestyle where it's like I don't think he knows what his body's doing, but he's going to the beat, he's trying something on. See fits. Yeah. And then other than that, I spend my time streaming 3 times a week over on twitch.tv/Puyaism. That's it.
Okay.
That's it from me.
All right. Well, great to get back together to talk some 90 Day Fiance.
Got
a lot going on the rest of Rob Has a Podcast. Of course, that we got our top 40 season rankings kicked off this past week. We talked about the 40th best season of Survivor. That was the Island of the Idols. We'll be back again on Wednesday night to talk about the 39th best season of Survivor, which is Survivor Redemption Island. And I tweeted that out about it, and people was getting dragged from people like, oh, you just don't like Boston Rob. And I was like, bam, it was a poll. I didn't do it. I don't make the news and just report it.
All your personal rankings, and that just all of us doing these forms was just for nothing.
That was for nothing. So those were the rankings. I didn't make them. Okay. All right. Then, of course, we are still talking about Kid Nation all month long. If Jenny, have you ever watched Kid Nation?
I have not, Rob. I'm not a big
kid
guy, but
yes.
I've heard that the kids are kind of savage, and it can be entertaining. That I should look past aversion to children and just get
liking
through it,
kids,
so.
Not a prerequisite for Kid Nation.
All right,
it's actually
then that's all I need to know.
If you hate kids, then you could watch them be tortured by evil television producers.
Let's not paint that narrative about me.
Yeah, it's actually, you know, that is, children are not treated well on Kid Nation.
Oh, boy.
That is not a haven for children. So you can check that out. Yes. So we're still going through Kid Nation all month long. And then, of course, Talking with T-Bird was back. Talked with the great Julie Berry with T-Bird Cooper. First Talking with T-Bird of 2021. All that is up at robhasawebsite.com. We have also introduced a brand new all-time top 40 season rankings feedback show, which I will be doing every week. That is a patron exclusive, which you can hear in our patron podcast feed at robhasawebsite.com/patron, plus our weekly patron activities. Got a patron brand seal coming up. And then next week, we'll be back with Patron Mafia with Puya and Jordan Kalish as well.
That's right. So it's always fun to watch Rob play Mafia with patrons and just kind of see what's going on, get the action there. It's always a good time. It's always a good time hanging out.
Yeah, lots of fun stuff. Robhaswebsite.com/patron. Thanks so much for listening. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.